Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 24. Now, we're going to read this passage, and while we do, keep in mind this phrase, if you love me, if you love me. All right, let's read. John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now, the whole blessing of salvation in Jesus Christ begins with loving Jesus Christ. That's where the whole deal begins. It begins with loving Jesus Christ. Because salvation is a matter of the heart, not a matter of the action. People really confuse that, you know, because it seems logical that if you wanted Jesus Christ to be pleased with you, you should be a good boy or a good girl. We grew up like that, you know. Our parents told us, and not because they were wrong, they just told us, you know, if you're a good boy, then we'll do such and such for you. If you're a good girl, we'll do such and such for you. So you grow up with that mentality. You say, well, obviously then, if I'm a good man or a good woman, then Jesus Christ will count me worthy of salvation. It's perfectly logical. It's just wrong. Because salvation is not a matter of the doing. The doing of salvation was done by Jesus Christ for you and for me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He's already taken care of through his death, burial, and resurrection all of the conditions of salvation. Now it's just a matter of your heart. Do you love Jesus Christ? If you do, then you'd receive him, and if you don't, you won't. You see, it's a heart matter. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's a heart deal. And so, bottom line, it comes to this. If a man truly loves Jesus Christ, first of all, according to the text, he will keep his commandments. Look at verses 21 to 23. Again, because he says it in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, right? Then he says in verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. See that? And then, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So, three times in the same text, he says the same thing. The proof of your love is whether or not you're going to keep my words and keep my commandments. Now, these commandments, as we saw yesterday, for Christians are summarized as two things. 1 John 3:23. Number one, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay. Now, right now, I may be talking to you, as a lost person. You might not be saved. You might be religious. You might be very good. You might be charitable. That is, you know, willing to give. You might be very faithful in your attendance at church. You might even be teaching a Sunday school class or something like that. And while all of those things are good, being a good person, being a Sunday school teacher, faithfully attending your church, giving your money, and so forth, while those things are good and have the appearance of good, the truth of the matter is, if your heart has not been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, by you coming to Him and admitting that you do not have enough righteousness on your own to get to heaven. In other words, all your giving, all your goodness, all of your Sunday school teaching, all of your going to church, all of your goodness is, as Paul said, dung. That all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That you have no righteousness that is acceptable to God because you're a sinner. You can come to the Lord like that and repent, obviously recognizing the insufficiency of your righteousness, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ in humility and realize personally that you need to receive Jesus Christ so that you can have God's righteousness and therefore be justified, have your sins taken away by Jesus Christ. If you get to that point, you're keeping His command, because He said that we should believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. And, you know, you need to. Every man needs to, because the Bible says, there is no other name in heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, it's real difficult for religious people to admit that religion doesn't save, and so they become very tolerant. For instance, you may be a very faithful religious person, and you would say, well, I think other people who are faithful to their religion should go to heaven as well. But that's not true, according to the Bible. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So it's exclusive. You know, the truth of the matter is, once you get saved, you know you're saved. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name, see it? Believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Religious people don't know that. They hope that. They think that. They're trusting that God would do something for them, but they don't know it. You don't know it until you have, with your heart, trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Then you know it. I mean, look back here in our text in John chapter 14. He said in verses 19 and 20, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. That is, he that hath the Son hath life. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. See, you know some things when you really get saved. You know what I'd really, we pray for this a lot. You know what I'd really love to have the opportunity to do today, on Wednesday, September the 10th, 2003? You know what I'd really like to have the opportunity to do? I'd like to have the opportunity to lead you to Jesus Christ. I really would. By preaching the Word of God and letting you know that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that it's a heart condition where you recognize you're not righteous, and He is, and you come to Him by faith and receive Him as your Savior, and you get saved. You know, at the end of the broadcast, we always give our phone number. And one of the reasons is we're hoping that somebody would call requesting spiritual help. Preacher, I realize now, by the presence of the Holy Spirit, that I am simply religious. I have not been saved, and I need to be saved. Would to God, at the end of this broadcast, you'd pick up the telephone and dial that number. You say, I don't even know you. Well, I don't know you either. That makes us even. Say, well, preacher, I just don't know if it'd work. I'll give you the words of God. And if you believe the words of God, then you can put your faith in the words of God. And by putting your faith in the words of God, you can be saved. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We'll show you right out of the Bible what you need to do to be saved. And then you can pray to receive Jesus Christ and you can lift up your head and you'd be a saved man or a saved woman. Why don't you take us up on that offer? Seriously. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my command. And his command was, believe on his son, Jesus Christ. You say, well, I believe him. Yeah, but you're not trusting him and you know it because you're empty inside. You don't have assurance of your salvation and you know it. You're not sure you're going to heaven. And the reason is you've never received, you don't have Jesus Christ in you, which is what our text is talking about. All right. If a man loves him, he'll keep his commandments. So his commandment is that you got to receive Jesus Christ. And if you hadn't done that, you need to do that now. Why don't you pick up the phone? I'll be here. I'll be here 3:30 in the afternoon. Phone rings. I'll pick it up. You'll say, can I speak to Pastor Welder? You'll be speaking to me. And I'll show you right out of the Bible in about 5 to 7 minutes how you personally can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'll tell you what, you'll never experience greater thing in your life than that. And you'll know something. You really love Jesus Christ if you follow that command, and you'll know that you're saved. But that's not all. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Therefore, you'd believe on Jesus Christ, and not only that, you'd love one another. Look in John chapter 15, verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. That's the command. Look in Romans chapter 13. Paul starts listing the commandments again, like thou shalt not commit adultery, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet. And he says this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Romans 13:9. Thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's what he said. He said, you want to keep all that stuff? Some people love that Old Testament, want to keep all that stuff. You know how to do it? Love God and then love your neighbor. But you got to watch out because right now the flesh is weak. Galatians chapter 5, he said, all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You see, loving one another encompasses all the commands, and that's very important. That's very important. Why is that? Why is that so important to loving Jesus Christ? Because he says this. In 1 John 4:20, he said, if a man say, I love God, do you love him? Say, oh yeah, I love him. All right then. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, you got somebody you hate? You say, well, preacher, I don't really want to tell you. Okay, don't tell me. But be honest with yourself. You know somebody that you hate? Say, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. All right then. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, you know what his problem is? He is a liar. Now, I didn't say that. I'm just telling you what God said. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, say, well, then, really, preacher, I don't really hate him. I mean, just, you know, we're having a little disagreement. Don't lie now. You really do hate him or her. If you just be honest, you say, well, I don't want to be accused of not loving God. Well, be truthful. Lie not against the truth. Do you hate him or not? Say, well, push comes to shove, yes, I do. You'll have one guy say, well, I don't hate him. I love him, but I just don't like him. Come on, man. Quit that nonsense. Do you love her? Said, no, I don't. Do you hate her? Yes, I do. If you don't love her, you hate her. If you don't love him, you hate him. All right, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, right, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? It's not possible. And that's God's commandment. He said, now, if you love me, keep my commandments. First thing you do is get saved. Second thing is, you'll love your brothers. He said, I don't love them. You know, there's nothing like, seriously now, to mature you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing like being hated by a Christian. And I say that sort of laughingly because people do that. They really do. And, I mean, when that happens, you know, what you realize is it'll draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. What you realize is you've still got to be able to love them back. You say, well, they're my enemy. Well, he said, love your enemies. Pray for them. Do good to them. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. You say, well, preacher, I just couldn't do that. Well, then you don't love them like you're supposed to. Now, you love Jesus Christ? Say, yes, preacher, I really do. All right, then. keep my commandments. If you think you really love him, receive him. And once you receive him, love his children. I said, preacher, that's hard. Well, that's why we do what we have to do by the grace of God. Paul said, when I'm weak, he's strong. We can trust him. So, if a man loves Jesus Christ, he's going to keep his commandments. The first commandment he's going to keep is loving God. The Bible says it like this. We love him because he first loved us. And he said, well, if you love God, you're going to love others. The Bible says it this way. This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Do you love him? Then you're going to have to love those that are begotten of him. Say, preacher, you just don't understand the kind of trouble we're having in our church. Yes, I do. You better love them. You may find that by loving them, the problem will go away. You may find that by loving them, the problem will go away. Say, but preacher, don't but me. He said, you love me? Okay, preacher, I love him. Then keep his commandments. All right, but now, what's the benefit of doing that? Let's get off of that. Let's get on to this. What's the benefit of loving Jesus Christ and keeping his commandments? What's the benefit of that? What's the benefit of getting saved and loving your brothers? Well, the first benefit is the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. In Ephesians, the Bible tells us that when we get saved, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, that's a wonderful thing. You see, because there's no way in the world you and I can save ourselves. So when the Holy Spirit comes and abides in us, he seals us so that until the day of redemption, we are Christ's. And not only do we have that benefit of having the Holy Spirit seal us into the body of Christ so that we're always the Lord's, we have this greater benefit even than, I say greater, additional, let me put it that way. We have an additional benefit. What is it? Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Not only do you have the sealing of the Holy Spirit, you have the filling of the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and that caused them to do something. They spake the word of God with boldness. So you have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, and that gives you some things. First of all, it gives you comfort there in verse 16. Give you another comforter. So you get great comfort. Look at verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, the reason he said, I will come to you, and I will not leave you comfortless. Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit incarnate, God manifest in the flesh. The Holy Spirit overshadowed the body of Mary, conceived in her womb, the Lord Jesus Christ, and God was born in the flesh. And so when he says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you, that he meant it. Inside of you is the Holy Spirit and the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a great thing to have comfort. You know, when you go to a funeral, you know what the people need? Comfort. When you see somebody going through marital difficulty, you know what they need? Comfort. When you see somebody whose children are separated from them for a period of time, you know what they need? Comfort. When you see them in financial strain, you know what they need? Comfort. When you see them trying to grow as a Christian and enduring certain chastening from the Lord and difficulties, getting things with the old man put down and things with the new man coming to life, you know what they need? Comfort. 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 Comfort is relief in affliction. And don't think that living the Christian life is going to leave you without affliction. If you take a stand for Jesus Christ, you're going to experience some affliction, my friend. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But you know what? Comfort is also freedom from worry. Oh, my, do Christians need freedom from worry today. So desperately need freedom from worry. All the time worried. Paul said, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And people are so careful for things today. They're worried. Worried. Worried about their security. Worried about their retirement. Worried about sin in their lives. Worried about their children. Worried about their mental health, their emotional health. Worried about their relationships. Worried about their families. Worried about their homes. Worried about their souls. You need the Holy Spirit's abiding presence to give you freedom from that worry and freedom from disappointment when you meet with failure in your life. But not only that, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit gives you truth. Look at verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Oh, that's great then. We don't have to worry so much about deception. I mean, Christians can be deceived, but you don't have to worry about it so much because you've got the Spirit of truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, we learn that the things that we need from God come to us by revelation. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for they are the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So when you want to know something, you go to God and you pray and you say, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And you begin to read and study and cross-reference Scripture, and God lays the truth out for you. The Holy Spirit's the one of doing that, because he's not interested in deceiving you by any stretch of the imagination. Where another man, not relying upon the Holy Spirit, will take this Bible and he'll pervert it to prove that his own doctrine is so, and he'll try to deceive you. The Spirit of God would never do that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. A lost man doesn't have the benefit of what you have, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The world doesn't have these things. The world can't have these things because they don't have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. See? So a world that's been on wickedness is going to miss all the benefit of having the Spirit of truth. But when you're not interested in error, you're interested in truth, the Holy Spirit's abiding presence will guide you into that truth. But that's not all. Not only do you have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, you also have eternal life. But you knew that. Look at verse 19. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Why? Because I live, ye shall live also. See, in Jesus Christ is life. He that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This life is in Jesus Christ, and that life is eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, what a bonus! So if you love Jesus Christ, you will have, and you receive him by keeping his commandments, and love the brethren, you have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, you have eternal life, and he promised that, eternal life that God promised from the foundation of the world, and God cannot lie. He told the truth about that. People who don't believe in eternal life because they believe you can lose your salvation are people who don't believe what God said about eternal life. Now, I know they're using the Scripture to prove their doctrine, but they're not using it correctly. They're not rightly dividing the word of truth. If you really and truly love Jesus Christ and keep his commandments by receiving Jesus Christ and loving the brethren, you're not going to have any trouble at all being worried about losing the salvation that God has given you, because it's eternal life. But not only that, you'll have eternal security, see? Look at verse 20. At that day, watch it, ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. You're going to know not only that the Holy Spirit's in there, but that the Father's in there, and that I am in there, and you're going to know that. John chapter 10, we recently studied this. John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them what kind of life? Eternal life. They shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which is greater than me, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. You know that. John chapter 5, verse 24, earlier when we had studied this, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, watch it, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Well, how can you beat that? That is what's called eternal security, because your faith is not in your righteousness. Your faith is in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that was freely given to you and taught to you by the Spirit of truth. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You know, one of the reasons you might be having trouble with eternal security is it might be that your love of the Lord Jesus Christ is not up to par. Or it could be that you're not loving the brethren like God told you to do, and therefore you don't experience the knowledge of the eternal security that you have by trusting Jesus Christ your Savior. But that's not all. Not only do you have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit and eternal life and eternal security, you have fellowship with the Father and with His Son. Look at verses 21 to 23. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. Judas said, how? He said, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. That's what he said. Truly, then, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Man, you've got fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Son of God. All you need to do is love Jesus Christ enough to receive him, and love the brethren. Love your brothers. The world can't do this. But why? Because they don't love him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. Come out of that world and come to Christ.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.